This is a production of Cornell University.
Okay, everyone. I am going to start with a call to order. Can I get a count of how many members we have here? Morgan Baker. Genevieve Bansaw. She's running late. She'll be here in like 10 minutes. Esther Bentalila. Duncan Katie.
Here.
Pedro De Silvera. Dylan Eisman. Annette Gleiberman. Kane Ronmeyer. Deepak Alongo. John John Jiang. Andrew Wan. Joanne Kim. Mari Lampert. Claudia Leone. Yananawi Logan. Manaya Lewis. Luna Liu. Joseph Mullen. Nicole Overton. Nikki Reddy. Kate Santa Cruz. Lucas Smith. Michelle Song. Claire Templeman. Krenal Thacker. Valeria Valencia. Henry Wade.
Here.
Adele Williams. Everett Yon.
Present.
Connolly Anunye. Here. Can you use the microphone? Sorry.
Sorry.
With these two people coming in, it's 24 members present. Okay. Oh, you're like not a voting member, so I don't call your name. Okay, I'm gonna start with our land acknowledgement. Cornell University is located on the traditional homelands of the Gayagano Cayuga Nation. The Gayagano are members of the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, an alliance of six sovereign nations with a historic and contemporary presence on this land. The Confederacy precedes the establishment of Cornell University, New York State, and the United States of America. We acknowledge the painful history of the Gayagano dispossession and honor the ongoing connections of Gayagano people, past and present, to these lands and waters. Okay, next we are going to go into late additions to the agenda.
Motion to amend the agenda to insert under announcements and reports a byline announcement and byline reports.
Second.
Motion to amend the agenda to place the byline announcement and byline reports under new business.
Amazing. Can we actually bring a microphone up here? Do they have one? Sorry. Okay, now we will go to the consent agenda. And I'm gonna be reporting on President Pollack's decisions from resolutions 1 through 5. Okay, SA resolution number 1 is the proposed charter amendment for the 2022-2024 byline funding cycle that was accepted by the president. SA resolution number 2, adding 2 reserve seats for first year students to the appropriations committee, that was acknowledged by the president. SA resolution number 3, amendments to student activities funding commissions governing documents, that was acknowledged by the president. SA resolution number 4, amendments to empathy assistance and referral services governing documents, that was acknowledged by the president. And SA resolution number 5, amendments to class councils governing documents, that was acknowledged by the president. If you'd like her specific comments, you can go to the student assembly website her like detailed comments are there. Okay, next we are moving into open microphone. That is anyone in our gallery, if you'd like to speak, if you have anything to tell us. Amazing, now we are gonna go into, So I don't know if you guys have seen the infographic or the flyer that I put on the Slack, but OSA, Office of Student Advocate, is recruiting for the Director of International Affairs and Director of Academic Affairs. And so we extended the deadline for October 15th at like 5 p.m. So hopefully that gives anyone enough time to apply. But yeah, just keep that in mind. Hi, everyone. I just want to make a reminder. I just got a comment that just to make sure that everyone's speaking into the microphone. We have some people on Zoom today, so just making sure that they can hear everything that we're saying. Okay, now we are in announcements and reports, and this is very exciting. We get to swear in our new representatives to the Student Assembly. Congratulations to our freshman representatives and to our new transfer representative. Can I have you all stand and go to that podium right there? Okay, so I am going to be reading you our oath. Basically, please just have your right arm up and then repeat after me. I'm gonna cut it into short statements. Okay, so in view of the trust the Cornell community has vested in me. As well as my personal sense of honor.
As well as my personal sense of honor.
I, insert your name.
I
do solemnly affirm on this 8th, today's not the 8th of October. Do solemnly swear on this 7th day in October.
Do solemnly swear on this 7th day of October.
In the year 2021.
In the year 2021.
To fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative.
To fulfill my responsibilities as a student elected representative.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
I will engage in open and honest debate.
In a process where I am guided by truth and fairness. I will never purposefully misrepresent facts. In an effort to achieve my goals. If a conflict of interest arises,
I will relinquish my right to participate
in the decision-making process. I will seek out and voice effectively the interests and concerns of the student body. Address the issues of my fellow students. And strive to improve the quality of life. At Cornell for all students. Congratulations and welcome to the Student Assembly. Representative Lieberman.
I just want to give a quick congratulations to our amazing Director of Elections and new member of the Ithaca Common Council.
I have no speech to give you all than to please show the respect and love for your new members that you all show one another. These are the folks who are the superstars. These are the folks who made the selection run so smoothly. You are all the reason we had a 31% increase in voter turnout. Thank you to all of you. You guys are the ones who are the Student Assembly, and much love to you all.
Representative Lambert.
Hi, all. October 15th through 23rd is Prep Awareness Week, which is a medication to help prevent HIV. And so Cornell Health is doing an initiative where they want people to send out flyers and Instagram posters on their social media for each day. So in the Slack, I'm going to be sending out posters that I hope you all will send on your social media. So thank you.
Representative Katie.
I know he's deep in conversation right now, but I'd like to take a second to acknowledge the fact that our Director of Elections, Patrick Naylor, was just honored with becoming one of the Ithaca Common Council people.
Congratulations to Patrick. A few quick announcements from me. Next week, our meeting is completely virtual as the Willard State Hall Memorial Room is reserved. Also, if you're new to the essay, can you hang back for a few minutes after the meeting? I just want to make sure that you're in our Slack, get you onboarded a little bit. Everyone enjoy your October break after that. Representative Smith.
So I guess first, maybe this is more of a point of personal privilege, but do we need to have an executive session afterwards now that we have the new representative seated to fill some of those seats that are reserved for them? Are we prepared to do that since they're here?
I'm going to say next meeting just because they weren't aware that that was happening.
Sounds good. And an announcement I'd have, if I may. I think we should also congratulate the new Dean of Students now that she's been officially, I guess, seated. She's been doing the job for the past year. Marlo Love, awesome. I think that's just great that Cornell is finally sided with her and kind of confirmed her.
Okay. Next, we're going to move into initiatives. And then we will go to presentations and forums. So right now we have Interim Policy 6.3 by Ladrina Walton and Jessica Reynolds. Thank you so much. Oh, and Laura Regless. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, everyone. So you tell us what we need to do since we're on Zoom. Should we go ahead and start with our presentation?
Yeah, you can start. I think you should be able to screen share right now. Let me know if you can. If not, we can fix that.
Okay. The audio is fading in and out, so I can hear you at times and not at other times.
Okay. Can you hear me right now?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. So just for everyone as a point of information, just make sure that if you're addressing them, you're speaking directly into the microphone.
Thank you all very much. So good evening. My name is Laura Ruggles. I'm the Associate Vice President for the Office of Institutional Equity in Title IX, and I'm joined by my colleague, Ladrina Walton, who's our Assistant Director for Institutional Equity and Investigator. And you know, turn this over to Ladrina in just a moment. But before I do, first, huge congratulations on everything that you all are doing and to the newly admitted representatives. Look forward to all the good work that you'll be doing. And thank you very much for the resolution and support. I know it's pending comments related to the topic that we're presenting about this evening. The Office of Institutional Equity and Title IX, we were with you last year around Interim Policy 6.4, and your representative, who now is the president, did a fabulous job with that, and we appreciated all your engagement around that. And so we're essentially doing the same thing. We're coming to you with an interim policy change that went through the appropriate university channels to get to this point. And the reason that it's interim is because there is a fuller stakeholder review that needs to occur so that we can get the feedback from important stakeholder groups and shared governance bodies like yourself. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ladrina for a further introduction and to walk and to take us through the change and then hear from you any comments that you would like to offer and any questions that you have.
Okay, so hopefully this view is working. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So as Laura said, Ladrina Walton, I'm the Assistant Director of Institutional Equity and also an investigator in the Office of Institutional Equity and Title IX. And our office had the opportunity to review Policy 6.3 after taking over from academic HR around this time last year, I believe it was actually September of 2020, the responsibility shifted to our office. And so in my investigator role, I volunteered to lead our responses to those. And so I've been working with the consensual relationships policy for quite some time now. And so after the policy came over to us, we had the opportunity to review it and to see whether or not we could make an update that sort of mirrors what's already in the policy. And so what I'm showing you is the change and where it came from. So the update or the change is that romantic or sexual relationships between staff members and undergraduate students are prohibited, regardless of the work unit or location of either policy. And so this has been included in the update, and it's page 9, provision 4. If you go to the Title IX website or search Cornell University Policy 6.3, you will see this language in the policy now. So this same provision had already existed for faculty members. Faculty members were prohibited from being in sexual or romantic relationships with undergraduate students. And so we found it was a good opportunity for us to put the focus back on professionalism and for staff members to be role models, also to protect undergraduate student experience and to provide a place where students would be from any conflicts of interest or other issues. And so that's the change. It's straightforward, just romantic or sexual relationships between staff members and undergraduate students is prohibited or are prohibited. And so this update went through, as Laura said, it went through the proper channels. And so we had the opportunity to get feedback on the change from various units and departments on campus. So we asked for feedback from the research centers, from the directors of undergraduate studies, from the directors of graduate studies. And then I also conducted a bit of background investigation to find out what other institutions had done with regard to this prohibition. And we found that Brown University had prohibition, and it's escaping me. I believe there were a total of 3 Ivy institutions that had something similar. And so Cornell would have been sort of falling in line with what other institutions were doing. And so I gathered feedback and did the additional background and got the additional background information, and presented to the EPRG. That's the Executive Policy Review Group. And it's made up of the vice presidents and also academic deans. And it was approved for interim status as of August 2nd. And so where we are now is trying to get additional feedback from the assemblies and other university bodies so that we can move the policy from interim status to a permanent status by early next year.
And if I could just add to that, obviously, given the nature of this change, you all and the constituents you represent, the undergraduate students, are at the very heart of it, a very important group to get feedback from. And we had spoken with your president over the summer as this was being contemplated and got a really strong signal of support. So thank you very much. And we hope that continues to be the case, but really we would just very much like your honest feedback about the change itself, and also ways that we can continue to educate and communicate around this policy in particular.
Yes, and so what I have up here are just the next steps, and I think Laura may have already mentioned this briefly as well, but we are currently conducting a full stakeholder review of the change. And so Annalie's name is up here as the student assembly representative. And we were really excited and grateful to hear about resolution number 27 passing and for your support. And so what we'd like to do is sort of open it up. If there's, Laura, let me know if there's anything else, but we wanted to.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to trip over you there. I wonder if we should open it first to Annalie to see if there was anything else the president wanted to add to this as our stakeholder review member.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for coming. And honestly, I mean, you know that I'm very much in support of making this a permanent policy on our campus. I will shift it over to any SA representatives who have any questions for you. That's the end of your presentation. Thank you so much. Representative Williams.
Hi, thank you guys for speaking with us today. I think the camera's that way. I was just gonna ask a point of clarification. I know this came up when we passed 27. Does this prohibit student workers who are employed? Does this classify them as staff and then prohibit those relationships? This could include RAs as well as food service.
So that's a really good question. And the way that this policy applies to people is in their primary affiliation. So the fact that someone has employment secondary to being a student here does not cause them to be considered a staff member for purposes of this policy. And the same is true if someone is serving as an RA, for example. Does that help to clarify? So someone who is here as an undergraduate student would be considered a student for purposes of this prohibition, not considered a staff member who's prohibited from having sexual or romantic relationships with other students. I should point out though, as a student worker, you could have supervisory responsibility. You could be in a position of authority over other students. And there's another provision that addresses that. But for this new provision, prohibition four, students would not be considered staff just because they are student workers or RAs. Did that answer the question?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Representative Wade.
Hi, thank you so much for coming in and speaking to us about this change in policy. I was just a little, I just had a clarification point for example, recently matriculated students. So for example, if there's a pre-existing relationship, let's say it's between an individual who's a senior and an individual that's a junior, if that person graduates and then works for Cornell as in a staff position, what would be like the ramifications of that relationship?
Right, so they had a pre-existing relationship and then the one person's status changed. I hope I heard that correctly. Is that right?
Yes.
And so we're just asking that people disclose those situations. And there's a reporting tool connected to the policy. And we've had that happen already. And it's just a matter of putting the disclosure on record. And then what we do when we get a disclosure is we reach out to the other party in the relationship. And part of the reason is to ensure that they're aware that the disclosure has been made. It's their information as well. And to make sure that they also consider it a consensual relationship. Anything to add to that, Ladrina? You're welcome.
No, that I was gonna say the same. We've just been handling it as a disclosure. And what we always encourage is for people to reach out directly. You can email me personally or email the equity at cornell.edu address if you have any questions, because we welcome that, you know, the chance to answer those types of questions. But yes, disclosure for pre-existing relationships is what we are requiring.
And we really appreciate the questions too, because this policy came over to us last fall. And so we're learning what concerns or questions people may have, and we're building out more informational materials, FAQs. And this is both of the ones that have been asked so far have come up a number of times. So we'll try to add that to our FAQs.
Representative Templeman.
Yeah, I just wanted to say real quick, I serve as liaison to the employee assembly, so I attend their meetings. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about this policy change. I mean, I'm fully in support of it. I just wanted to thank you guys for coming in, presenting to all of us about this.
Thanks very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you for your time and having us.
Representative Katie.
This is more of a point of personal preference to the president. Are we going to have the same thing happen in the university assembly? Similar conversation?
Could we have a similar conversation like this at the university assembly if all parties feel welcome and comfortable with that?
Yes, I believe they're scheduled to come to the university assembly, but that's also something there. Perfect. Thank you so much, Ladrina and Laura. It's so great to have you. I know we're still waiting on feedback from Resolution 27, but it was passed pretty favorably with the student assembly. So it really means a lot that you were able to come here today.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. And again, we welcome the feedback. So feel free to email either of us or email the equity address. And then also Annalie, she's the representative and she's engaged in the stakeholder review. You can send it directly to her and she'll get it back to us as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, so our next thing on our agenda is going back to byline reporting from, sorry, resolution first. Okay, so now we are gonna go into business of the day. And then new business, we have resolution number 31, amending and ratifying the student assembly bylaws of the Office of the Student Advocate. So Delilah, you can take the stage to present your resolution. Representative Gleiberman.
It's Gleiberman. Don't worry, everyone.
Gleiberman, I'm so sorry.
Point of information, the actual changes and the new bylaws weren't attached. So can we use our computers to look at the box?
Yes, but on the back, these are the changes.
What? No, it just says, be it for the result that the student assembly approves and adopts.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, you're right. You can pull out laptops if you'd like. Hey, everyone, there's a lot of crosstalk. Please give Delilah your attention.
Okay, so I don't know, do I just start explaining it a bit? Okay, so pretty much, we created a new position within the Office of Student Advocate, which is International Affairs, because that wasn't there before.
Can you speak directly into the microphone?
My bad. Okay, so we created a new position within the Office of Student Advocate because there wasn't a position for International Affairs. And then we also changed a little bit of the language for the director's roles and the responsibilities because we felt it was very much conduct-based when we wanted it to be more around gathering resources, being that office that you can go to for informational material, connecting you to resources or departments around the school or off campus as well. So I changed a little bit of the language there, but yeah, if there's any questions, I can take them too.
Perfect, Representative Baker.
Hello, is this supposed to say Director for International Affairs or just International Affairs?
I think it's supposed to say, so the responsibilities of the Director of International Affairs.
Okay, motion to amend to say Director of International Student Affairs or just Affairs?
Are you referring to the International Affairs?
Yeah, line 538.
Oh, what I have for 538 is monitor the collection of data office. Hold on.
Delilah, can you repeat what you just said? Sorry, we can.
Oh, on my end, line 538 refers to monitor the collection of data in the office.
Right after Director for Student Finance, that section, it just says International Affairs and then what they do.
Yeah.
But the surrounding ones say director. So should we motion to amend to make it say Director of International Student Affairs instead of International Affairs?
Yeah,
I make that motion.
Perfect, thank you. And do we have any dissent to that? That amendment sustains. Any other questions or comment? Representative Smith.
Yeah, awesome resolution. Just another, I guess, technicality. But in the resolution right up itself, I'd like to make the motion to change it from on line 16 charter to bylaws.
Do we have a second? Second, perfect. Any dissent to that? That amendment sustains. Representative Williams.
Just a point of information. I'm wondering why the Office of Student Government Relations is highlighted in red in this. Didn't we?
Sorry, can you speak into the microphone?
I'm speaking as close as I can. Okay. Just a point of information, Office of Student Government Relations is highlighted in red in this document. Has this already been, has OSGR been approved for this year, like already? So we're not approving that change, right? Point of information, the more crimson color are changes that we made already, and the bright red color are the changes that we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's a little confusing. We're still waiting for President Pollack.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Eisman?
Can I just, they're online, 501. It says LGBTIA plus liaison at large. Is that included in this section, or because the attachment seems like a point of inquiry? I'm just a bit confused if we're just looking at the Office of Student Advocate section only, or if we're addressing other notes in this.
Yeah, so this resolution is for the Office of the Student Advocate. If you would like to change that, that would be a bylaws change that you can create a resolution for.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, I think that's a typo, which actually I'd really smile upon a motion to amend at some point. But I think that needs to be a separate resolution. Yeah. Just amending our diversity part of our student assembly bylaws. Representative Mullen.
In the section for Director for Student Finance, I see that it was added needs such as financial aid and emergency funds. I'm just curious, I guess, about like the rationale for adding that, and also what would go under that purview for the office in terms of helping with financial aid.
Could you repeat the second question?
Yeah, so just what specific like things with financial aid would the office be taking on in terms of helping in that process?
Right, so I had added just a little bit more information on Director of Student Finance, because I thought it would, when we discussed it with the director, they wanted to make sure that they would hit on those points. So pretty much if a student comes to us regarding those issues, then they would be in charge of handling that case, or just trying to direct them to the right resource and being informed about like those topics that I had put on there. So for example, emergency funds, being knowledgeable about what those include and what they can help cover, and also making information and material regarding that.
And sorry, just to follow up, so it'd be on a case-by-case basis with students, like helping them directly get their financial aid?
Yeah, that's what the Office of Student Advocate does in general. It's sort of like if any student wants to come and needs more one-on-one support in terms of any issue that, or any like question that they have, we're there to support them and by connecting them to a resource on or off campus.
Awesome. I think that's really important. So thank you so much.
Yeah.
Everyone, just there's been a lot of crosstalk. Please make sure you're paying attention to Delilah and whoever's speaking. Representative Gleiberman.
Motion to table.
Do we have a second? Perfect. We can go into voting. All those in favor, please raise your placards. Do we have an additional person come? Perfect, thank you. Okay, so in a vote of 24-0-1, that resolution's tabled. Thank you, Delilah.
Thank you.
Now we will be going into a byline update from Representative Baker.
I invite everyone to open up their Cornell box to the meeting materials for today so you can view the byline reports.
Representative Juan.
I don't know if it's like point of personal privilege or something, but we don't have access to the box.
Okay. You're about to have access to the box.
In the meantime, the charter requires that the VP Finance disclose information about upcoming byline hearings. We're having one on Wednesday from 5:45 to 8 o'clock in 366 McGraw Hall, where we'll be hearing presentations by EARS and MGFC. So for the byline reports, we're going to start with the ones that we discussed last week, and we will be voting on them today. So the first one was ECO. So just go ahead and open up byline report dash ECO. So as I talked about last, should
Morgan,
I?
We want to wait 2 seconds. Till okay. They get access. Or maybe actually you can just start discussing since I see that they're looking at it.
Motion to vote?
No, not yet.
She has to present. They have it now. Okay. All the new representatives, you should have access to the box now.
Okay, great. So yeah, just go to meeting materials for 10-7, and then they'll be in there. Called Byline Report dash ECO. So ECO is the Environmental Collaborative. We discussed this last week, but they've 2020 to 2022, their allocation was $1. For 2022 to 2024, they've requested 81 cents. The appropriations recommendation was 75 cents. I've gone over all of the reasons, but I'll just summarize again because we have new members. So ECO, the primary reason why we decided it was not appropriate to allocate them at their desired 81 cents amount was because they are expecting a $2,000 reimbursement, which if you split that up $1,000 for each year, then a $900 decrease from what they requested is appropriate and still gives them the $100 wiggle room. So at the bottom, you can see the vote totals. And after asking ECO if they would appeal, they said they will not appeal and they accept the decision. So now in order to pass it, we need a majority vote. So I'll open it up to discussion now.
Motion to vote on the proposed report.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Perfect. Can I have all those in favor raise your placards?
Morgan, are you abstaining?
Oh.
Okay. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 23-1-1, that resolution passes. Congratulations, Morgan.
So the next...
Or that's not a resolution.
It's a report.
The report passes. Yeah, Wendy? Sorry about that. that report passes? Would that be it?
Yes.
Okay, so 23-1-1.
Great. So now, last week, we also discussed essay. So now open up byline report dash essay, also under the meeting materials for today. Since I'm the essay treasurer, I did not chair this meeting. Annie chaired this meeting. So she'll present this resolution right now, since I was not present in deliberations and voting.
Hi. So this current byline cycle, the student assembly had an allocation of $4, and for the upcoming cycle, they requested $150, and that was what the appropriation committee recommended. This was mainly due to because of the large the large surplus that SA has, and the detailed plan for spending it down to a reserve account of $20,000 to keep in case of emergencies.
Representative Smith.
Yeah, wondering if we can change then, Morgan, strike your name and put Annie's name on, because as the report is presented to us, we have that conflict of interest there. And usually the person who chairs the meeting or chairs for a report would be the one who writes the report.
So the reason I put my name is because in all the past reports for SA and CRP, the VPF put their name. So I was just doing what they've done in the past.
Yes. That works then. I'll withdraw.
Okay. Representative Katie.
I motion to vote.
Okay. Can I have all those in favor? Please raise your placards. Morgan, are you abstaining?
I think I have to abstain.
Okay, perfect. Can I have all those opposed? Can I have all those abstaining? Okay, and a vote of 23-0-2, that report passes. Congratulations, Representative Lieberman, I'm so sorry.
Great, so now the next report we'll be doing is CRP, which is the Collegiate Readership Program. These next two reports were discussed and voted on this week, so that means we cannot vote on them until the following week. So because I'm also technically the treasurer of the Collegiate Readership Program, I did not chair this meeting. Annie chaired this meeting, so I was not present for deliberations and voting. So Annie will present this report.
So for those who don't know, the Collegiate Readership Program is what allows all students at Cornell to have access to the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal. Kind of just think of it as like one really cheap, like one giant like subscription that ends up being really cheap. So the allocation for the current cycle was $3. CRP requested $4.30 for the upcoming cycle, and that's what the Appropriations Committee recommended. The price at the end of this fiscal year, there will be a negligible amount left in the CRP cycle. In previous cycles, they were operating with a surplus. Considering that the 430 number came because that is just the cost of one New York Times per student plus the cost of one Wall Street Journal per student. And that's pretty much it.
Perfect. Thank you. Wendy? Perfect, thank you. Representative Smith.
Yeah, I guess I just can't remember. At some point in time, what we paid used to include print copies. Do we still get print copies, or is that no longer part of the contract? I see Wendy shaking her head no, so sad, but.
So in the past, we got the print copies, so the CRP cost more, but then
those were done away with, and now it's just all online. So then the CRP had a big surplus, but that surplus has been spent down now. So there's no surplus and there's no print copies.
Representative Williams.
Motion to vote on the proposed report.
Or no, we can't vote on this.
Motion to table.
Motion to table. By unanimous consent. Second. Do we have any dissent to that? Amazing. Congratulations. It was tabled.
Incredible. So the next one is byline report / slope day. This is the last one. So yes, go ahead and open that one up. So again, we cannot vote on this one today. I can simply present it. So 2020 to 2022 slope day was allocated $21. They requested the same, the appropriations has recommended to allot them the same amount. After notifying slope day of the appropriations decision, they've submitted a brief written response, which I will read aloud now. Thank you so much for your time in listening to our presentation. The questions asked were thoughtful and deeply appreciated. In addition to that, on behalf of our e-board, we are thankful for the allocation decision for the Slope Day Programming Board. We hope and promise that we can make this Slope Day a memorable and enjoyable experience for the Cornell community. Once again, thank you for your decision and time. I'm required by the charter to read aloud the written responses. So, rationale of the committee, basically, though the committee discussed potential cuts due to slope days, large surplus of $209,000. We also believe that since slope day is such a unique and memorable experience, as it's the Cornell's largest annual outdoor gathering of students, that their promise to seek out higher tier artists to perform and their promise to spend a large portion of their rollover on the talent fee for the upcoming cycle is worth not cutting them for. So that is why the committee decided to give them their requested amount. I will now open it up to discussion.
Representative Katie.
Was this fund at all affected by any possible surplus coming from the past two slope days?
Yes. So in the second paragraph, we discussed that briefly. So even though slope day could not have an in-person slope day, May 2020 and May 2021, the talent fees were still the same. They didn't decrease even though it was over Zoom. So because of that, they don't have as large of a surplus as they could have, but they still have an unprecedented and large surplus. So yes, it is because of Zoom that it's this amount.
Representative Lampert.
Motion to table.
Oh.
I withdraw my tabling motion.
No, okay. That was the second.
Oh, that was second?
Never mind, I bring it back. Motion to table.
Second.
Okay, was that a motion to table by unanimous consent?
By unanimous consent.
Perfect. Okay, that resolution is tabled. Congratulations, Morgan. And now I would smile on a motion to adjourn. Representative Williams.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second, okay. We got a vote. Okay, so all those in favor, please raise your placards. All those opposed? All those abstaining? Okay, in a vote of 23-1-1, that sustains. Our meeting is adjourned. Have a great fall break, everyone.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.